Before we get back to the Masters, last year we talked often about the 100th anniversary of Salmon Brothers, and I know some of the family recognized at the State House for the longevity of the business last week or the week before.
It was week before last, yeah. Yeah, that was a great honor. Dad and Burke and Dad's wife had a chance to go up to the State House, and they recognized us as a 100-year business. And yeah, it was. Dad was very, very excited to do that. I know my grandfather would be very happy to see, you know, that we are still going strong and now in our second century.
Very, very cool. Blake's with us today. We're putting the focus on the upcoming Masters and some of the things Blake's been able to take in during his recent visit down to Augusta. Tell me about watching the practice rounds go on. And when it comes to the practice rounds, do players give it their best shot like they would try on Thursday, or are they maybe putting the ball here, there, and everywhere to get a feel for what the course has to offer?
All right, well, I'll talk about some of the fun they have, and I'll talk about the seriousness.
Okay.
I mean, obviously the seriousness, this is the first major of the year. This is what everybody gears up for. The best players will set their schedule early in the year, already this year, basically playing tournaments or not playing tournaments so they can prepare for being here this week, because there's nothing like getting a green jacket, being a part of history, and it's laser focus from the caddies to their families, their accommodations, where they're staying, what they do. And so that the seriousness is it's enormous for these players. So on the serious note, the caddies, which obviously are a big part of it, you'll see them wearing the white jumpsuits with the names on the back. It's a tradition that you only will see there. At some venues, you'll see them in shorts, but in this way, they're all the same. So they're out there. In some cases, you'll see a caddy walking by himself, and he's walking off yardages, and he's documenting everything in his book to make sure that he understands and knows how to club his professional that he caddies for. When I say club, it means to know exactly how far he's going to be able to hit the ball, because we're talking about basically a yard or two difference, which can make the difference between making a birdie and making a bogey. And so the emphasis on having exact measurements from tee to green, not taking into effect they've had rain, which is going to make it softer. You're not going to get as much roll from the drives. The greens are probably still going to be hard enough and roll fast enough, but they want to make sure that they've got it all figured out. So as they hit the ball off the tee, obviously they may hit a couple tee shots. They may want to put it in a couple different positions, because obviously the greens and the pins are going to be set up in different locations every day. So, you know, maybe on the second par five, a guy might hit a three wood and see where he's going to be, and then he might hit the driver just to see where he's going to be. And then they'll hit a couple shots into the green. Once they get to the green, the caddies will actually go up and they will put either little flat circles on the greens where the pins are going to be on different days, or they'll stick a tee in a different area. So they
know that.
They already know that.
Each day is going to be.
Right. So there's a hole that's already cut, and they'll hit to that. But once they get up around the green and when they're doing all their chipping, maybe they hit some bunker shots, they are hitting to different areas from different days, because this is the only days you can practice. You know, come Thursday, the pins are set. Come Friday, it's a new set of pins. Come Saturday and Sunday, obviously it's going to get tougher. So, you know, if you want to hit out of the bunker and get up to a top shelf and you want to get there because the pin's going to be there on Saturday afternoon, then so they'll spend a lot of time around that green. So, they could be 20 minutes, 25 minutes on one hole because they're working on their game. But the guy behind them is not waiting to hit, because he's doing the same thing.
Okay.
And so that's the really cool part about it, is they're really trying to home in on what's going on. And it's really cool. So when you're around the greens, you know, they might hit a good shot. They'll cut it up with the patrons a little bit.
I wondered how loose it was on practice day.
Pretty loose. Jose Maria Lethabel he had come up next to us, and he's got a full beard, and I didn't even recognize who he was at all. And he was chipping around the greens, and you can have cameras, and obviously there's a lot of professional photographers, just no phones. And somebody had clicked one of the bigger, you know, you could hear the ch-ch-ch, and he kind of didn't really duff it, but he didn't hit it where he wanted, and he kind of just gave a real good glare. But you could just see how intense he was on doing what he's trying to do, because they've got a job to do. Now, from the fun perspective, on the 16th hole, and you'll remember this hole if you're a fan, because this is where Tiger Woods had chipped in from the back where the ball had released, went down the hole,
yes,
the hill, and then on the final turn with the Nike logo, it falls in. On that particular hole, it's a par three over water, and so the players will hit their shots, and then they will walk to the edge of the bank, and everybody will say, skip it. Skip it, skip it. So they will take a three or a four iron, and they will basically hit the shot just like you were sitting on the bank as a kid skipping a rock across water. They are so good that they can skip the ball at a low trajectory, and it'll take four or five skips, and then it will actually get onto the green and release. And so the patrons love it. It's something that kind of came about, you know, I don't know if it was 10, 15 years ago, and now, you know, there's boos when you don't get it out of the water, and there's cheers when you do get it on. This year it was Fred Couples, Tiger Woods, and Justin Thomas, and all, on the count of three, they all hit at the same time, I guess, except for Freddie. He almost hit it, and almost the water came up and almost hit Justin, and I think Tigers was the first one to get on the green, and he looks at the crowd and puts the number one up and says, you know, I'm still number one, and you know, I'm really good at this. And so everybody had a blast with it.
Is it still a Tiger venue?
Yes. Yeah, it's the just having him in the field of any tournament. I don't know if you watched last year or you saw the highlights of him when he won the PGA with the 50,000 people behind him walking up, you know, the 18th green, knowing that he was going to win. And McIlroy looking over his shoulder thinking, what in the world is going on? The Tiger factor is there.
I know what it does to the TV TV ratings.
Yeah, the Tiger factor is there. You know, obviously, anytime he's going to be in a tournament, it's going to be a huge deal. He hasn't won since 05 at Augusta. He hasn't won a major since 08. So, I mean, you're talking about a drought, but you're also talking about, you know, I still say a young man because he's a little bit younger than I am, but you're talking about a guy that has really, really changed his game in the last 12 to 14 months, and he looked fantastic out there playing. He's just about as long as everybody, and he just has the experience at Augusta. You know, you have to have the complete game to win. There can't be any. If one thing you can get away with is you don't have to drive the ball extremely straight because the fairways are extremely forgiving, and but it doesn't mean you don't have to be on the right side to be able to go at the pins. But he's so good with his irons, and he's so creative around the greens, as is a Phil Mickelson. You got to be a shot maker, and you got to understand when to go for things and when not to go for things. Amateurs won't have that. There's a lot of amateurs in the field this week. We've got 86 players. You take 50 of the best in the world that get an automatic invite. You've got guys that have got in by winning tournaments last year. And then you have, if you wonder why some of the old guys are out there, it's because they've won. You have a lifetime exemption. You could still play as long as you're able to play. The Jack Nicklauses and the Marco Miras, they've decided to hang it up because they kind of feel like they're in the way. Obviously, they can't hit it far enough anymore, and so they really don't. It's probably an ego thing to where they don't want to embarrass themselves, so they'll be there to partake, but they won't play. But these guys they're exceptionally good. But when it comes down to it, there's really only a handful of players that really have a fighting chance to win it.
Hitting a bomb certainly won't guarantee you success at Augusta, but how much fun is it to watch that ball take off?
Well, if you play golf and you play golf with your buddies, and I'm sure everybody talks about, you know, a guy that, you know, there's always somebody that talks about, oh, he can hit it so far, and yeah, that he hits it 300 yards is the thing everybody talks about. Oh, the guy can hit it 300 yards. He bombs it. Well, there's a big difference between swinging out of your shoes and falling down and making a beautiful swing with an amazing amount of power and hitting the ball over 300 yards when you're a professional.
Sure.
The sound of the ball compressing on a club from a professional versus an average player is a sound that you're never going to hear. And watching it come off the club knowing that you're lying down the fairways and you're only about 15 yards off and there's a guy getting ready to hit the ball with a club head speed of 125 miles an hour, you know, and knowing that the ball is just basically going to sail over your head, you know, with precision, and then you hear it and you see it and it just continues to go and go and go. And it's an unbelievable sight to watch a guy hit the ball like that.
One more before we break for news here at 9 o'clock. If you go out and play somewhere just to enjoy the day, that's one thing. Give me an idea what it's like for these players. It seems almost claustrophobic to me because on a camera shot, you're teeing off, you can see people, usually in the camera shot, kind of like in an arc, you know, from left to right and behind the players. Can it be claustrophobic for some of these guys?
I'd say at this point, if you're there, you're probably used to it, except for some of the amateurs probably with mm-hmm. the crowds. I think that the Tiger factor, obviously, if you're playing with somebody like Tiger or Phil, the crowds are obviously, you know, 30, 40 deep all the way around. I'm sure it can be claustrophobic, you know, and you have to, and then on top of that, you have to visualize what you're going to do with the shot, you know? So, I mean, not only do you have nerves, and everybody has nerves. I don't care who you are. Step up on that first tee at Augusta, you know, the palms are sweaty and you're ready to get going. And for them mentally to stay in it for 18 holes, let alone 72 holes, I don't know how they do it. I'm better off being a fan. It would drive me crazy.